Save it for somebody else. You know, why do today what you can put off till tomorrow? It's my life's credo. Oh, you know, Marty, whenever you was talking about, you know, coming home and you mow the yard and then you leave the wife to do the rest of the things, I live by that. Anytime that there, I when it came to the dirty diapers and things, don't get me wrong, if I couldn't pass the buck, if I could do it, I did. But, you know, I would do it. But there was one thing that I could not handle. And that was whenever the kids get sick. The smell alone would leave me right there beside of them. So it was like a year or two ago. Kayla has almost always worked midnight since the kids have been born. Every time she'd get a daytime job, she'd, you know, find another one and go back to working midnights again. So it was a couple years ago, and Anthony, I heard him run into the bathroom. And I heard him in there, and I'm going, oh, at least he made it. Thank you, Jesus. And about 2 seconds later, I heard Allie. I'm like, oh, Lord. They're both in there now. Where did this happy surprise go, you know? So I walk in there, and there's Anthony in front of the toilet and Allie in front of the sink. And I went, I got to call your mom. I have to do one thing I said I never would do. Oh, I was so disappointed. I called her at work, and she's like, what? I said, the kids are sick. She goes, okay. I said, no, they're puking. She's like, okay. I said, at the same time. She goes, oh, did they get to the toilet? Well, one did. Can you come home? She's like, well, what can I do? I'm like, clean it up. It's not good in there. It doesn't look promising for anybody. And we have two bathrooms in the house, but she wasn't getting to the downstairs, you know, in time. So, needless to say, they both sat with a bucket for the rest of the night, because if that happened again, I was not cleaning it up a second time. That was assured that that was not going to happen. If you would go with me and grab your Bibles to Acts chapter 1, we're going to continue talking about the Holy Spirit again here this morning. We have some misconceptions about the Holy Spirit's role in our lives and what He is here to do for us. We talked a couple weeks ago how we have this very narrow mind on exactly what the Holy Spirit does in our life. We think that He is only here to speak in tongues and for somebody to give an interpretation, and that's what we have limited to the Holy Spirit in our life to be. But there's so much more to Him. And I want to talk to you this morning about the benefits of knowing the Holy Spirit. And whenever I say knowing, I'm talking about having a relationship with Him. You can have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, just like you have a relationship with your spouse. See, let's just say I didn't have caller ID on my phone, okay? All I would have to hear is my wife on the other end say, Brandon, that right there would be enough for me to know who it is. That's how well we know her. So that's what I'm talking about. I don't even have to hear my wife speak sometimes, and I know exactly what she's thinking. Sometimes I wish I didn't know. All she has to do is just give me sometimes. I know exactly what it is I did wrong. But I want everybody to hear this. She ain't here, so I'm going to tell y'all. Yeah. Hi, honey. Yesterday, she was wrong. I made sure she knew she was wrong, even after she tried to prove to me that she was right. It was right there in the book. She was wrong, and I want to just tell everybody about it. It's right. I told her, I said, you know, I have my moments every now and again. And I knew I was right. She was bound and determined to prove me wrong. She went and got the great big binder out of all the rules for the game. And I looked at her and I said, well, what's it say? And she goes, shut up. I told the opposing coach, hey, I just proved my wife wrong. Told the umpire, hey, I just want you to know I was right, my wife was wrong. He's like, buddy, you got yourself a long weekend in store. But there are some amazing benefits in knowing the Holy Spirit and having an intimate relationship with Him. And the first thing is power. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says this, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and in Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. Too many Christians today are struggling in their day-to-day lives all because they try to live it in their own strength. They are saved, yet they live lives of defeat. They spend their entire lives without ever using the only power that makes the victorious living possible. Whenever you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, you do not have to live broke, busted, and disgusted. If you don't know that, now you do. You do not have to always be defeated. I hate it whenever I hear somebody say, well, I'm doing good under the circumstances. What are you doing there? What are you doing under the circumstances? Get on top of them. Don't be defeated. The battle's already been fought. You won. You won. The Bible says that you are more than an overcomer. And my dad used to use this illustration, and I'm going to use it too. He said, imagine if you had a 6'5", 250-pound boxer on this side, and a 6'5", 250-pound boxer on this side. And they went and they slugged it out, 10 rounds, and they went at it. And the guy on this corner wearing the red trunks, he beat the dude in the blue trunks after 10 rounds. And he won the $1 million purse. He wins $1 million for the fight. He was the overcomer. How can you be more than the overcomer? This is how. Here's the 6'5", 250-pound boxer who just slugged it off for 10 rounds, won $1 million. He goes home, and there's his 5'5", 120-pound wife who looks at him, takes that $1 million check, and goes on a spending spree. That was the more than the overcomer. She did not have to fight the fight. She just had to claim the victory. That's more than an overcomer. See, you don't have to go out there and fight this fight. All you got to do is just claim the victory and walk in it. Walk in it. You don't have to be defeated. How many of you have ever been yelling at your kids and the phone ring and you went from, I'm going to kick your tail, to, hello. I remember when I was a kid, when y'all remember those real long phone cords? Yeah. Those things were not to help so you could get from one room to another with the phone. That was used as the whip. I don't know how my mom did it. She could be talking on the phone just as calm and as collected with me and have that phone cord wound up and going to town on my rear end, right on up the hallway. It's like, how is this possible? But we allow other people to determine our attitude. But you control your attitude. That's how we're able, whenever we're sitting there yelling at the kid and the phone rings, that's how you're able to change it just like that. You control your attitude. Don't allow your circumstances to control your attitude. Don't allow your boss, your fellow employees, your spouse, your children, change your attitude. You be determined. You can walk with power. You know, there's people that I sometimes am just amazed that how they can have everything going wrong in their life and yet they can still walk and talk with a smile. It's because they made a determination that they're not going to be defeated by the things that are going around them. That's how sometimes you can see people, they find out that they got cancer. They only got a few weeks to live. And you know what? They're still smiling. Because they're not going to allow circumstances to determine their attitude. The second thing, when you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, is love. Romans chapter 5 and verse 5, it says, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Today, many Christians are struggling and fail to walk in love. Is that because they never open their hearts to the Holy Spirit, who holds the role of pouring out God's love within them? How many of you have ever met some Christians? I know we have none here that are just some fuddy-duddies. You know what I mean? If you've seen a smile on their face, it would probably crack. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, they only have one look. I'm glad we have none here. Everybody here is always so happy, grinning from ear to ear. But we know people like that. It's never us. Hey, just so you know, the role of a good Christian is making sure you always point the finger at somebody else, right? That's right. You always make sure. I remember this old story where the guy was sitting in church and he's sitting there going, "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord." That's how he always sat there in church going like this. "Yes, Lord." The pastor asked him, he says, "Why are you always going like this, waving it back?" He goes, "Because I know the people behind me need it." It's never for him. Charles Finney said this, when experiencing the Holy Spirit, he said, "The Holy Spirit seemed to go through me, my body and soul. I could feel the impression like a wave of electricity going through me. Indeed, it seemed to come in waves of liquid love, for I could not express it any other way." Charles Finney was actually an attorney. Gave up his law firm to become one of the greatest evangelists that we've ever heard of, all because he had an experience with the Holy Spirit. See, there's something about it once you get to know this one. Whenever you come to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, how it changes your life. How many of you remember when you first started dating your spouse? And as you got to know them more and more and more and more, you wanted to be around them more and more and more and more. It's the same thing with the Holy Spirit. You know, when Kayla and I first started dating, you know, she lived an hour away from me. So I would talk to her every couple days in the very early parts of the relationship. I'd go down there once a week, you know, and see her, and go out and do something. Then, after about a month, I was calling her every day, going down there a few times a week in my truck from Massillon to 260. And then it got to the point where, you know, we'd be just on the phone and there wouldn't be a word being said. It's fun conversations. Nothing was even being said. You could, "What are you doing?" "What are you doing?" "Nothing." 15 minutes later, "What are you doing now?" "Still nothing." That was our conversations, but you know what? We didn't care. Still wanted to just be on the phone with each other. You know, Kayla was gone last week. She went down to check out the new place down there in Florida, and I could be honest with you, that was a long 3 days for me. I know I talked to her on the phone, and we only see each other for maybe an hour, maybe 2 hours in a day, anyways. So it's not like we spend a whole lot of time together, but whenever she was gone for 3 days and I didn't even get to see her for an hour, I can be honest with you, I kind of missed her. She said she missed me too, but then she went, "Do I have to come home? I love you too." I was here in the office the one day, and "I just want you to know I miss you." "Well, I miss you too." An hour later, "Do I still have to come home tomorrow?" I texted her back and said, "I thought you said you missed me." And she, "Oh, I do. I don't know if I miss you that much at the moment." I'm like, "Hey, I thought you loved me." She goes, "I do, but it's 85. Yeah. Oh, so there's a threshold to our love. If it was 75, she'd probably be willing to come back. But 85, now we have to talk. You know, like I said, Phineas left his career as an attorney to be an evangelist because he had a moment. He had an experience with the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you something. You can have that same moment and that same experience with the Holy Spirit yourself. The same God that sent his son, Jesus, 2,000 years ago to die on a cross for you is the same God who released the Holy Spirit to have a relationship with you. Number three, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, it says this, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, it's joy, it's peace, it's patience, it's kindness, it's goodness, it's faithfulness, it's gentleness, it's self-control. Against such things there is no law." And I want to explain something here. We say fruits of the Spirit. It's wrong. It's not fruits. It's fruit. These are all ingredients. They're not separate. They're all ingredients into making the fruit. Okay? We say fruits of the Spirit. So here's the thing, is you cannot have patience and then have kindness. You have them both. You can't say, "Well, I struggle with self-control, but I love everybody." It's all in there. Okay? It's all in the fruit. One fruit. Paul says in verse 16 of Galatians chapter 5 that if you walk by the Spirit, you will not carry to the desire of the flesh. Here's the thing. Is when you got saved, some of you may not remember that day you got saved. It may have been a few years ago. Some of us. Okay? But try to remember way back when. Okay? There was something that changed in your life. Remember what that moment, that feeling was like for you in your heart? You know, I want to say a churchgoer, because I struggle by using Christian here. And I remember my dad was preaching at a revival, and this guy, man, he got radically saved. I mean, we're talking bad dude. He got radically saved, and my dad had went back like 6 months later, and this dude was on fire for Jesus. He was out every weekend, out on the streets, witnessing. And my dad made the comment to this one woman. He said, "Man, you just got to love seeing somebody that on fire." And she goes, "Well, give it another 6 months. We'll see if he still feels like that." See, the reason why some of us have gone so stagnant in our relationship is because we have not tried to have one. If I don't try to have a relationship with my wife, and if I don't try to talk to her, if the only time I ever hooked up with my wife was whenever I wanted to hook up, guess what? Eventually, we're not going to have that great of a relationship. So if the only time that you have in a moment with the Holy Spirit is whenever you need something, your relationship is going to suffer. I'm just going to be blunt with you. See, having a relationship is not just about the goosebumps and the feel goods. That's why so many relationships fail today, is because it's only about what happens behind the closed door. Walk with him, talk with him, have a relationship. You're going to see your life change. You'll see your finances change. You'll see your relationship with your children change. You'll see the relationship with your spouse change. You'll see your relationships at work change. But see, you have to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. He wants to walk and talk and go through your daily life with you every day. He wants to be with you. He wants to know you. He wants you to know him. He's got a personality. He wants you to get to know him. You can have the fruit of the Spirit being alive and well in your life whenever you get to know him. Can I be honest with you? I'm not the type of person that has a whole lot of self-control. My nature is not to be somebody with self-control. If I see something and I have the money, I'm going to go buy it. Okay? Before my wife, if I seen a girl that looked kind of nice, I was going to go talk to her. I didn't care if I had a girlfriend or not. I'm just going to get the phone number just in case something happens with this one. I told my wife when her and I started dating, I said, I want you to know that I have never cheated on a woman. Kind of. I didn't cheat. I never was with another woman at the same time, but I definitely was sitting there wondering, if I get rid of this one, I got this one over here that already said we could hook up. Peace out. I had no self-control. I'm being honest. Can I be honest? When God first called me into ministry, you know why I said I never would do it? I don't like telling people my crap. I had no self-control. If I was at my buddy's house, he said, hey, when you want to fire one up, you better believe it. Let's go. Fire it up, buddy. I had no self-control. I had an 86 Camaro Z28. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Okay? And I bought it from the local drug dealer in town. He was tired of the cops always pulling him over. So this smart guy went and bought it. So I went down to the drag strip that was just a mile down the road from my house. I wanted to see how fast this thing could run. I was running under 10s. I was like, hallelujah, this is awesome. And that's without slicks. I'm like, this is great, man. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go out there. I'm going to drive this car. And how many of you ever gone to Atwood Lake? You know where Atwood Lake is? It's not straight roads. Well, 183 isn't. It's not straight roads from my house out to Atwood Lake. I have this sports car now. Let's see what this car can do. Right? You don't know unless you try. That was kind of my life's philosophy. Well, its maiden voyage out 183, out towards Atwood Lake, came up over the S-turn, brought the car up off the road, bottomed that thing out, ripped out the whole transmission. Oh, no problem, right? I'll just take it to my buddy's house, we'll put a new one in it, got the thing all fixed up. Came up over that S-turn again, because, you know, I know what I did wrong. I got into the turn too sharp. I should have gone out just a little bit, let off the gas a little bit more. I thought I figured it out. I was wrong. up over in the embankment, down over the hill. So I had to go and call my buddy who had a wrecker. I said, I need you to pull my car out. So needless to say, now the wrecker is now pulling my Camaro into my dad's house. He took the keys and said, I think I will do you a favor, son, and I will sell this car for you. Okay? Brandon does not have self-control. But once I began to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, I've been a little more wiser with things. You know, I no longer try to see what the Mustang can do. Sometimes. But see, it's all part of having a relationship. Whenever you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, things change in your life. Number four, there's gifts. The fruit of the Spirit is a gift. The qualities He produces in our lives are like packages from heaven itself, filled with blessings, miracles, and power. Satan is terrified by the thought of God's people coming into a relationship with the Holy Spirit. The early New Testament church threw the door wide open to the Holy Spirit and turned the world upside down. Miracles happened and lives were transformed. You cannot live a fully productive Christian walk without Him. Are you changing your surroundings? Is your walk with God changing your surroundings? Is your atmosphere changing? It can. When you have a relationship with Him, things change. Whenever the New Testament church first experienced the Holy Spirit, the city changed. They didn't have to wait for an altar call. All they did was walk. And people's lives were changed around them because they began to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. See, when you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, those chains that have been holding you down, they no longer have to hold you down. That sickness that you've been battling with your whole life, you don't have to battle with anymore. It's no longer your battle. Your finances are no longer your battle. You do not have to battle those things. He already fought the fight. All you have to do is claim the victory. Claim it. And here's the great news. You know, I was talking about the wife of the boxer. I promise you, she's got children. And guess what? The inheritance just flows down. The Bible said is that He's not only the good Father, but He's the perfect Father. Okay? I'm not perfect by any means as a father. Try to be a good one. Okay? And every gift that I can give my kids, I want to give it to them. I want to do everything I possibly can to see my kids succeed. To do better than I did, or I'm doing. I want my kids to do better. Why is it that God would be any different for us? He's going to want to give you everything and more. Why would God want to give you stone? That's not who God is. If you need bread, He's going to give you bread. He's the perfect Father. And whenever you come into a relationship with the Holy Spirit, you learn about the Father and you understand just exactly what it is that He wants to do for you as His children. So here this morning, I want to invite you to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, if Eric would come. You get to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is just not about speaking in tongues. We've limited Him too much. It's not just about speaking in tongues and somebody giving an interpretation. It's not just about the prophetic word. He's there to guide you, direct you, give you wisdom. He's there to fill your life with patience and kindness and gentleness and self-control. That's what he's here for. You don't have to walk around defeated. If you're unsatisfied with your relationship with your wife or your husband or your son or your daughter or your grandkids, have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And let me promise you, your relationships are going to change with your family. Because he'll teach you all things. He's not going to hold anything back. He wants to see you successful. If you would, stand with me. Father, right now, I just thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. Lord, that I could come and I could speak your word to your people.